life is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift back to God. Well, in a world where challenges are plentiful, it's easy for us to feel discouraged. Yet with enough guidance and support, most people can achieve more in life than they ever dreamed possible. Well, beyond your fears is everything you ever dreamed of. But the Dr. Stem Show will give the voiceless a voice and the hopeless hope. And now, here she is, Dr. Stem.
I knew what happened last week would happen when I did the show on raising teenage girls. Of course, I heard from parents that are saying, well, I have both. I have teenage boys and teenage girls. And then some said, well, what if you don't have teenage girls and you're raising teenage boys? I knew that would happen. But what I forgot to do last week as I ended the show to let you know that the following week, I was going to talk about raising teenage boys or teenage sons. So here we are. Welcome to the Dr. Stem Show. I didn't forget about you if you're raising teenage boys or if you're raising both teenage boys and teenage girls, which are teenage daughters and teenage sons. So this week, we're going to be talking about raising teenage boys, your expectations, the baddest and the bestest expectations that you might have. We will talk about them all. And in doing this, we are trying to hopefully normalize what you're doing, give you more information and more tips and points so that you don't get overstressed and, you know, too stressed out. And then, you know, sometimes you get into these fights that might at some point to them appear as unnecessary or for you to appear unnecessary when they pick a fight with you. So those are the things that, you know, we'll be talking about today. I also want to remind you, I have the great news. I did mention last week that I have a new book on teenage girls Q&A. I also have a teenage boys Q&A book that will be coming out at the end of October. So that will be available on Amazon.com. I would say around the week of the 22nd, I should be all done. October 22nd, 2018, it should be all done and available on Amazon.com. Teenage boys Q&A. The teenage girls Q&A is already available, so you certainly can go and purchase that one if you have both boys and girls, or if you know somebody that has a teenage girl and you want to give them as a gift. It's a great book, great gift, because I have a lot of questions in there that I help answer from a therapist point of view, you know, and also knowing what mothers, you know, want their children, teenage girls, to know and understand, and parents as in general want their parents to understand and know. So I put all that in that one book for parenting, you know, for teenage girls, Q&A, and I also have teenage boys Q&A coming up in October. All right, let's get to the show. Well, if you actually think life, you know, with boys, teenage boys or teenage sons is full of surprises, I'm here to tell you that the biggest and baddest times are yet to come, because they are always full of surprises of what, you know, they do, they think, say, or do that will always surprise you. Yet it's actually going to be a time, you know, with your teenager that will also get you that opportunity to prepare them for life. So more than the big appetites that, you know, they will have, because a lot of parents that have boys say, whoa, they eat too much. I can't believe that they continue eating and all the mess that they put. Well, parenting teenage boys is actually magic. Because you literally have to have magic, more than patience, more than prayer sometimes it takes. And that's what makes the exciting time of being a parent. Well, you know, like some people say, that's what makes it so damn good being a parent, because you never know. So bridging the years between them being a boy and a man, boyhood and manhood, that's basically what your parenting role is, to help them bridge that gap. How do they transition from being a boy into a man? So just in case you have any doubts about what you're doing or what you're supposed to do, today's show is about empowering you, educating you, and encouraging you to hold on, as this journey is about all the joys and pains of being a parent. So, what do you expect when you're raising teenage boys? Let's talk a little bit about, you know, about that part. What do I expect? The greatest conversations that you're going to have with your teenager, guess where they will happen? They are going to happen in the car. So just in case you're wondering, why is it that every time that I want to say something in the house and everything, they don't listen, but then when I get in the car, they can't run, so I have to talk to them. But that's where the greatest conversations are going to happen, you know, with them when you're on the road or when they're driving. Here's the thing. You have them captive. They are in the car. What you don't want to do is make this conversation or have this conversation get to a point where they're really frustrated with you and they shut down. Because as much as you think, well, they're in the car, they're not going anywhere. They can be crazy. Open up the door and jump out just to get away from hearing what you have to say. So I caution parents to say, yes, it's a great place to have the conversation because you have them there. But be cautious. If you see them that they're getting frustrated and this is getting nowhere, then tone it back. Change the way that you talk to them. Change the way that you're asking the things that you're asking. Because what it is that you want is to have conversation, but not to put your point across. You want to have a conversation with them so that they can hear what you have to say. That's the trick about it. Okay. If they have a girlfriend or a young lady that they like and they break their heart and their heart is broken, you will certainly see the sadness on their face and everything, and you might not have the whole story of what happened, but most of the time that very sad change and into myself usually happens when they have a break, you know, heartbreak, and somebody breaks their heart. And at that time, guess what? I hate to say this, but it's actually the best time to talk to them, because when they've been, their heart has been broken, they get to soften up and they literally get to sit there and talk about how painful and hurtful it is. So don't miss that opportunity to be able to help them deal with the pain and hurt of being rejected or of a heartbreak. They need your guidance. So even if sometimes they don't say anything, you can just be sleek about it, which I do when I'm working with them, and they come in and they don't want to talk about it. I say, do you know what? Is it okay if I give you some tips, in written tips that you can take and then you can read whenever you want to if you don't want to talk about it, because I understand how sensitive it is? And they take it. And then the next week, of course, I'm going to be sneaky and say, hey, I wonder how much of that you read. I read it. That's all I need. I don't want to know if you use it. I don't want to know if you got it. I got it. I read it. And that's fine. And most of the time, they'll bring up some of the stuff that I have there and say, well, what am I supposed to do if she still does this? And what am I supposed to do? And when you get boys to get to that point, that means they're listening to you. And hey, we celebrate. More often than not, your son cannot fix your biggest TV computers, you know, that you have your computers or your TV, because we just assume that because they're a man, they're going to know how to fix the TV, and they will know how to fix the cell phone, and they will know how to fix you when, you know, things are not working well. And you're saying, well, let me talk to my son. They don't have all the answers. They might not be able to fix it for you. I'm telling you, I was talking to this friend of mine the other day, and he's 54 years old. And he says, listen, me and fixing stuff are not one. We don't see eye to eye, because I've never been a hands-on person. I've never been, this is a 54-year-old man. So as I was talking to him, I'm like, you know, I'm like puzzled, because I think I'm also naive in thinking that, okay, as boys, you might not be able to do that, but then when you become a man, come on now, you can fix stuff. And he's like, no, I hate fixing stuff. I hate doing garden work. I hate going under the car and getting my hands greasy and oily. I don't know how to do it, and I'm not going to do it. I said, okay, I guess not every man is manly to the point that we think and assume. So it's a really bad assumption, because it doesn't make them a wuss or any less of a man if they are not able to do that. Not everybody can do it, and that's fine. As desperate as your son, you know, is growing up, the idea of growing up itself terrifies him. It scares him. The idea of being called a man and the manly responsibilities scare him. You know why? Because he's not trained on becoming a man. And that's the reason why, you know, now the teenage years of raising him is are critical to teaching him, to making sure that he's got all the tools that he can transition and become a man and be less terrified and less scared of being a man. Okay. Their mood swings, which are similar to the girls. Yes, boys have mood swings too. So a lot of parents are surprised and say, well, he's a boy and he has more mood swings than a girl does. They do have mood swings as well. Now, that's just something that is naturally, biologically for all of us, that we get sad, happy, moody sometimes. So he does get moody. But like everything else, he has his happy moments and he has his sad moments and he'll have his moody moments. Please respect that and just figure out and get to see where you say, one of those down days for him. And you stay away from, you know, pushing the buttons and nagging when you can tell that his mood is already crashed anyway for the day before you say anything. You probably are the most uncool person in his life right now because everybody else is cool because they're, you know, modernized and you're not modernized. So don't take offense to that because it's very natural for all the teenagers to find their parents, mom and dad, uncle, grandparent, that, you know what, they're so uncool. They don't know anything and they don't even understand what's going on in these days and they're naive and don't know, you know, much about what I'm going through or what I'm seeing. That's their rationale and that's how they see it. So gently, if you get moments where the guard is down and you can have a conversation, laugh about it and say, you know, when I was young, I thought the same thing about my parents, that they didn't know anything and my generation had more information and were more modernized than them. And so this is a generational thing. And I tell you, there'll come a point where you understand what I'm understanding, but I'll learn more if you teach me rather than just tell me, oh, you are so uncool and this is, tell me some of the stuff that you know, I'm not getting. Help me out. Some of them I might do it, but knowing is good because then I will understand where you're coming from. Do that because then they'll feel like, oh my God, I get to teach my parents something and they feel excited about it. Parents usually like to talk about, oh, when you were a little boy and you did this as a teenager, talking about this childhood stuff, not their cup of tea. It's a thing of the past as far as they're concerned. So it's not you, it's just them. They would rather just not be shown or told about this picture of them as a little boy and stuff. It's like, okay, that was then. What has that got to do with me now? And you're going, oh my God, I was just celebrating and just talking about how proud and happy I am that you're now a grown man. But not to them. They're not going to see you that way. The eating we talked about, because their appetite is a little bit more. And yes, you know, they will eat everything and anything at any time of the day. And you'll be like, oh, what the world? Why are you eating so much? And it's not very uncommon for them to do that. Movies, I've seen parents that fight about, you know, them watching the R-rated movies or something, especially with boys, I tell you. You want to pick your battles on some of these things because they're way ahead of you in a sense that everything that you tell them not to do at home, they're doing it at their friend's place. They're doing it outside in the school. And it's good for you to have a conversation where you can understand and know what they've been exposed to and what they haven't been exposed to. And watching rated R movies is actually a fight that, you know, might not go well. And it's okay. I encourage parents to still say, you know, I don't care where you've watched it, but not in my house. Because if that's your policy, then they'll understand that, okay, I can do this what I want anywhere else, but I can't do it in this house. Because then a lot of them will come in and say, well, I know that my parents, I don't understand why they get so mad and, you know, just out of shape, bent out of shape, because then I get to watch the movies at my friend's house and we do this. Well, that's at your friend's house. They have a right to tell you what they want in their house and what they don't want in their house. And that's the beauty of growing up with parents that will put those boundaries in there, because now you're going to work very hard so you can do well in school, and you're also going to work very hard so you can afford to have your own place that you can manage and pay for and make your own rules. So take it with a grain of salt. That's their house and that's how they want things. So, you know, make it a moment where they will know that, in a sense where they will know it and respect your boundaries. And making it into a fight doesn't get you what you want. But talking to them, even if you talk consistently, at some point they get it. They get it. But then, you know, they're going to fight the rules anyway until they know that they can't fight anymore. And you actually will even see yourself sometimes getting to be a bestie with your son and talking, and they're open. And then the next thing, you can even open the door with anything because they don't want to talk to you for that day. It's okay. Take it again one day at a time, because then the more that you don't make a big deal, a big fuss about it, that yesterday you were my bestie and today it's almost like I'm your enemy, the more that you don't bring that up and take it to heart, the more that you'll get the honey and they will have more bestie days, you know, with you, because you're not complaining, you're not putting them down, you're not stressing them out. They kill me with this, because they usually will come in and say, you know, just in case you're listening to this and you probably haven't heard any of the shows, I work primarily with teenagers and parents, and I'm a therapist, mental health therapist. I also do speaking and life coaching with them. But when the teenagers come in and they sit on that couch and they go, oh my God, they're stressing me out. And I go, who? You know. I'm like, who? My parents. They're just stressing me out. What? And when we start talking about the things that they're stressed out about, I can see why it will be so difficult for them as a young child to understand where you're coming from as an adult. So I urge you to sometimes just take a step back when you see the heat, you know, heating up, you know, way too much, so that you can check in and see what they're understanding this, you know, especially conflict to be, and what the lesson is in there and what it is that you want them to get, because they're always about the reason behind any actions or anything that they're told not to do. Especially, they want to know the reason why. And most parents are still not in a position where they want to talk about why, because I am the parent and I told you that you're not going. That's all that is. And I'm not saying anymore. Well, I understand that even for me as a professional, that you are the parent. And yes, what you say, go. But if we're going to help this young man and he's in between the transition of being from boyhood to a place where he can become a man, then we're not doing him a favor, but just saying, you know what, it's because I said so. So that's the problem with that. They need that reasoning because it helps them grow and, you know, helps them figure out a way to deal with such a similar situation in life as they continue to grow. I just missed my break here. Let me do this. Let me take a quick break. And also I want to remind you that the book, you know, Teenage Boys Q&A for your teenage boy that you can give to them will help them answer some of the questions that they are not able to ask you as a parent, or they're too shy to ask you, but in their own little room, they can flip through that book and see some of the questions answered in the book the way that I wrote it. But it's also a great conversation starter, because now you can start conversations with your son about the things that they want more information, and you have an opportunity to expand on that, to change what I say, but to make it a point where they know who you are, what it is that you expect, and how you have maneuvered and transitioned in life, either as a woman or as a man, but mostly as a parent. I'm going to take a quick break and I'll be right back.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. The with 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
We're continuing to talk about raising teenage boys. Oh la la. Yes, he will sleep like it's his job to sleep and will not understand what your problem is because they're sleeping so much. So just know that sleeping is part of the boy growing up. He's going to sleep, and he will sleep so long that you'll be like, wait a minute, what is going on, with my son? They'll also make a big deal about, growing the beard when the facial hairs are starting to come up. Ooh, I got this one, and I got this one, and oh my God, look at this one here. And almost like they're counting them. And that's annoying to adults to say, listen, boy, you're growing a beard, you're a man. You're expecting to do... They don't think of it that way. It's something that is coming out. And of course, it's very disturbing. I spoke to a young man the other time, and at that point he was having the beard and was growing so fast. And he's like, why am I that growing a beard and I'm only 14? And how come, I'm the only one among the teenagers, that has this kind of beard that just grows so fast? And it was just like a big deal for him. But with us talking and normalizing it to say, you know what, it's really different on how and when somebody grows their beard. And it doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you. It's just that means you're growing up at a different pace than the rest of them who catch up. And some will even have problems for not having a beard grow because now they get to be 16, 17 and they haven't seen any beards or any hairs growing. And that becomes a concern as well. So with that kind of picture there, they're able to deal with it in a much better way. And if you have a phone that you're sharing data with them on the phone, yes, they will go over those minutes that you have for the data. And you will run out of minutes to use. That's going to be a given. Figure out a way to give them their own phone that when you use up the data, it shuts off. A switch is switched on at the company, the phone company, and then it shuts off. That's the only way that you can keep that. But otherwise, you have a fight every month if your phone is still connected to their phone because they're constantly going to be going over the minutes and the data that's there, and that's going to be a problem for you. There's a very good possibility that your son might be using alcohol or smell like alcohol, drugs or weed. The way you approach them is going to be very critical as well on how you approach talking about their drug use or smelling alcohol, because then most of the time I know the tendency is you jump up and you just scream like, do I smell alcohol on you? And then all of a sudden is if you're smelling alcohol on them, that means they've been drinking. So you're not going to go far with them. Take a note and say, I will talk to you tomorrow. You know what? I'm smelling alcohol. We're going to talk tomorrow and leave it alone, because at that point they can hear you. Now in the morning, they're sober. Ha, it's on. Your son will always be bored. They will be bored, bored, bored. That's all they talk about. What's going on? I'm bored. What would you rather do? I'm bored. I don't know. But I'm just bored. I'm bored. So you hear that over and over again. The more you want to ask, the more you want to change things, the more you're going to hear I'm bored, the more annoying it becomes. So knowing that, you know what? He's going to be bored regardless, and he's going to say, I'm bored, relieves you from trying to fill in that gap of that boredom. It's very common when you ask your son to go and talk to his teachers, and he says, well, but I'm afraid to talk to my teachers, or doesn't even say anything, but just doesn't do it. It's probably because he's afraid to talk to the teachers and, who represent adults. So that might be something that you might want to talk to him to help him with his confidence so that he can approach the teachers. And sometimes just going over how to approach the teachers might help him formulate and make sense out of it and becomes easier once they have another way of approaching, the teachers. For your teenage son, what we might see as adults is a stupid decision. It would just destroy them and change everything, that one stupid decision that they make. And even if you say, well, why are you mad? Because you made the decision. That was on you. You didn't listen. You didn't do this. It doesn't make sense to them, because at that moment, because, you know, whatever that decision's, you know, the consequences for that decision's come with, they're not prepared to deal with them. They're not ready for them. So, it does become something that is, you know, bothersome to them. So be prepared, you know. He always wishes that he had a bedroom lock, because they hate it when parents just walk in there and, you know, and not knock, or even if you knock, they just hate that interruption of a parent just, you know, walking in the house, which is kind of hard, because in this day and age, with all the bombings that we're having and all these children going behind parents' back right there in the, you know, in the house, it's hard for a parent not to go into the bedroom. So I don't encourage that you don't, that you stop going into the bedroom. Negotiate it and make it almost like the army, where on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we have inspection. And I'm just going to come and inspect your room. And if the room is clean, then you get $5 for the week. You get $10 for the week. And an ambitious child will take that $10 and save it, but they will make sure that that room is spotless. So, I mean, that's one way of dealing with that you can do, but it also gets them engaged and involved in it. Your cooking, if you're a mom that cooks, it will always be his favorite cooking. He'll always come home to eat that food, because that's, you know, what they do. They respect that. They might not tell you that they're respecting or love your food or love you, but trust me, they do. Little boys, especially when I get to work with them and we ask them, they love their parents, and, you know, some of them having a hard time expressing that, but they do say they really love, you know, themselves. What else about sons? The relationship with their father, whether the father is in the house or not in the house, that relationship is key. I urge you as a parent, especially if you have a son, to please refrain from talking about their father, good or bad, with them at times where it leaves them questioning the integrity of their father, because they want that relationship inside. They want and long for that relationship with their father. But now if you keep putting this information that you're not getting along with the father and he's, you know, whatever names that you might call him, that doesn't sit well with him, because he's thinking, but that's my father. So, of course, if I'm your son and this is my father, why wouldn't you respect the fact that, you know, he's my father? So there's that tug of war in his mind where he's thinking that way, and you don't want him to think that way and be left, you know, without answers. But he does care for you, but he cares for his father as well. And it's important when things get rough and tough between you and the father that you always remember the main sole purpose of now you parenting is for your son to be able to have a good relationship with both you and his father. And that's what matters, you know, to them. Your son will also say, I don't care, it doesn't matter, all the time. It's like you say something and they say, I don't care. It's like, yes, you do care. What do you mean you don't care? But they do care. You have trouble deciding whether this is being lazy, this is being forgetful, this is now depression, this is now anxiety. It's always a thin line between all of those. That's why we are here. That's why we do what we do. I actually provide, you know, assessment. I'll give you an assessment of your son and what's going on via phone. I schedule them during, you know, for video or audio, and I get to see you. I get to see your son and do an assessment and evaluation of what's really, really going on. And I can help you with, you know, further recommendations of how you can better help your son. So if you need that service, you certainly can email me at the radio, drstem@americaoutloud.com. drstem@americaoutloud.com. And we'll be able to schedule an appointment for you. those of you that, you know, like to do radio interviews that have, you know, information, stories that you want to share on radio, I am now open again, because I was, you know, closed out for a while. I had so many people, but I'm now open to guests that want to come on the show and become guests and talk about what it is that you're passionate about. Because I'm always wanting new stories and new people to come on the show and help guide our teenagers and help support our parents. So a lot of motivation, encouragement, inspiration is what I strive for. So if you're one of those person that wants to do that, please email me. We also have an opportunity on America Out Loud where you can also have a show like myself. You can have your own show. And you interview your own people. So if that's something that's of interest to you, we also have openings now that we can have a show for you similar to this. So email me again with your interest at Dr. Stem, which is one word, DRSTEM at AmericaOutLoud.com. And I sure will be able to link you with our producers and directors that will be able to set that up for you. 1, 2, 3 is easy. I'm sure you've looked at our brand new website on AmericaOutLoud.com that we are always, you know, up and with the nuances of websites, you know, that it's easy for you to browse through and listen to the shows on the computer, on your phone, whether it's, you know, iPhone, Android. You can download our app and be able to listen to that. So that will be really good for your business if you're a business person to have, you know, a team of people that will make you look good, sound good, and then market your product and enhance your business. That's what we are here for at America Out Loud. So do email me with your interest at drstem at americaoutloud.com. Teenage boys need a lot of structure. Whether you're parenting in the same house or co-parenting in separate homes, you always have to make sure you know where he is and what he's doing at all times. Don't fall into the "you don't trust me" trap. The issue is not about a realistic assessment of the dangerousness of, you know, what they could face for them. They just don't even see what's, you know, dangers they could be facing. So your responsibilities is make sure that you can direct them to see that there are dangers out there that they could, you know, face. Well, as teenage boys at this stage, their insight is very limited as well. They could only see and think about the here and now, what's going on that minute and that time. Consequences and what could happen, that doesn't come easy to them. So what will happen is when they start saying, "you don't trust me," what they're, you know, doing is trying to manipulate you to not be looking and putting boundaries and making sure that, you know, they come home at a certain time, you know exactly where they are. They don't want to be doing the reporting. So of course, they're going to get annoyed and irritated. You'll be faced with a lot of resentment and anger. And you know what? It's part of, you know, their stage, that stage, that they're going to be angry at you. But it will pass, as you've noticed, you know, maybe sometimes when they get mad at you, that they can go for a few days without talking to you and, you know, come around, because then your mom, your dad, that's home. Most of the time I hear parents saying, "well, I don't even trust myself that my child will be safe. So of course I'm concerned about them, but they fight me all the time." Well, guess what? It's okay for you to open up and say to your child, "I'm, you know, concerned because I don't even trust myself enough to know that you'll be safe. And well, out there without me knowing where you are. When I give you that freedom, that means I've also given you the freedom to get yourself in dangerous places with dangerous people, and that scares me." Tell them that that scares me. And then they'll say, "well, you know, you think I would choose to be in places that put me in danger?" Well, I don't know that. I don't know that. And you don't know either. Okay. So in general, boys do not process what they hear as well as girls as well. If you want to give your son instructions or say anything important, please make sure that you make eye contact. You try to touch him whilst you speak. You know, if detail is important, ask him to repeat what you just said in a nice way, in a conversational way, and then make sure that you use short sentences and give a chance to respond before going on to the next thing that you want to say. Maybe next lecture, because, you know, as parents, you probably find yourself lecturing more when you just want to have a conversation. And remember what we said about where they listen the most? In the car. When they're in the car, they're more, you know, prone to listen to you. The world is cruel to the irresponsible. So if your son, you know, your child is not naturally responsible, parents, you know, have to do that teaching almost all the time. And sometimes where you think, well, this is just like, you know, easy to understand. Why is it that my child, you know, is not getting it? Well, there's also a delay in processing what you're saying with teenagers in general. So that you say something and then sometimes it takes a consequence or them going through trouble to really, you know, get a grasp of what you're saying. So don't lose hope when that, you know, happens. Now, remember this. Be your son's biggest fan. You may not remember it, but it's hard to be a teenager because, you know, everybody is lecturing, everybody is talking, everybody is giving ideas. So it's so hard for them to grasp who's who, because as adults, we are always watching out and looking out for them. And that gets to be too much information sometimes for them. So be his greatest fan, be compassionate with him, be, you know, a good listener, you know, with them. Communicate, even though your son's conversation may be limited to words like what and yeah, it's important, you know, for you to keep the lines of communication open and not give up because they're just saying what or yeah. Because when he wants to drop, you know, I mean, to talk, drop everything, whatever you're doing, and listen. Because then it's brave of them to take the time to want to talk to their parents and open up. So please drop everything and give them total attention. They remind me of women. You know how, you know, when I'm working with couples and women and men, I'm like, oh, she just wants me to drop everything to listen to her. That's exactly what I'm asking for you to do with your boys. Respect his space. You know, the teenage years are a constant push-pull. As a teenager tries to establish himself, you know, as a young adult, you know, and yet still they are also craving for privacy and protection. So respect that and don't take it personally, because all they're doing is protecting, you know, their privacy and what it is that is going on in their lives at that point. So, you know, be aware of that and communicate with them. They'll open up, you know, for you if you respect the space and talk to them. And don't sweat the small stuff. Every parent of a teenager needs, you know, probably to read that little book, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. They also have one, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, you know, in children for teenagers and stuff. You need to read that. There will be some things that are just so minute that you don't need to be sweating about them. Make sure that you put boundaries, set boundaries, clear boundaries, help, get help from your child, because it's very helpful for them when they can be a part of, you know, what those, you know, boundaries are. Yes, you can meet his friends, but don't be judgmental. Open up, talk to them, and then, you know, have a discussion with, you know, your concerns, you know, but then respecting the fact that those are his friends. And encourage, you know, him to be around male role models, if you can, good role models that he can talk to, that he can be around. That really helps him. You know, if you can do that for him. And then, you know, just look out for warning signs. Don't be afraid to tell him that this is of concern. You've seen this, you know, search the room and talk to him and say, you know, I'm going to be searching the room because I'm scared because of these signs that I saw. They'll be open to you to talk to them like that. So I hope those few tips are helpful in raising your teenage son.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
I'm always amazed, even after all these years of doing these shows, that, I mean, my third segment comes so fast, especially when I'm doing shows that I'm very passionate about, which every show I'm passionate about, but there's certain ones that I just find myself, my adrenaline moving even faster, and I'm like, oh, don't end now. This is one of those shows. We're talking today about raising teenage boys, and we're talking about some of the expectations and some of the things that you see. So most of you are probably going, okay, so do you have like tips of really what we can do in order to be able to provide the support that we need, but most of all to deal with what we're going through with our teenage sons? Do you have any, you know, suggestions of what we can do? Yes, I do. I have suggestions, and I also have some insight that I can share with you about some of the stuff that you probably might be doing with them, and you're not, you know, understanding why they act or react or respond the way that they do. So the question is, how do I get through to my teenage son? There's literally an art and a science that is involved in successful communication with your teenager. So let me talk a little bit about how you can better communicate and connect with your teenage son, since that's what we're talking about today. You want to give him advance notice. Tell him ahead of time about the timing and topic you want to discuss with him. Because unlike the girls, men like to have a chance to be able to process it before they sit down with you or before they just sit in the car and start hearing you talk about, you know, something that they were not prepared for. And that's something that really irks them. So as much as you can, share with them that, you know what, I'm going to be talking to you about, you know, such and such later on tonight. So I just want to make sure that, you know, I let you know in advance. It sounds weird, it feels weird, but it's something that they need as men to, you know, be able to process in advance whatever it is that you're going to be talking about him. Make sure, unlike the girls, again, they don't care if they have breakfast or not, but for boys, please feed them. Make sure that they have something to eat before they go to school or something in their bags that they can, you know, take as a snack. And I saw that, you know, the boys had a much larger struggle than the girls when I was in the school system, because, you know, I used to have my office for 10 years in a high school, and I used to bring food myself. I would bring in, you know, donuts, I would bring in bagels, I would bring in something, because then as I called them in for counseling and they're sitting there and I go, would you like something to eat? I had the best of conversations when they had a bagel and they had their little juice, and I say, well, what did you, you know, eat when you left home? Nothing. And I'm thinking that's a gruesome day that they have. And to start with a growling stomach is really tough. And I saw it with the way that they ate it, that it's important that parents understand and know how a big thing it is to have them have food so that they can be, you know, focused and engaged. Well, it helps with their blood sugar level as well. When they put food in there, then you find that those that have breakfast and that eat something, they're less irritable at school. But the ones that don't, I found that they were more irritable, because now I begin asking, if I get somebody who's sent to my office and said, you know, what did you eat? And I find that the ones that don't eat anything, don't have anything to eat, will be more irritable and they have more outbursts. Lectures. Boys, or even girls, they don't take lectures very well. So you might want to diss the lecturing, you know, and try to make your conversation more about the point. I have a hard time with that myself. So I'll own it. You know, I'll have a conversation and I can see somebody's face, whether, you know, I mean, it's an adult or a young person, saying, get to the point, get to the point. So as I am growing, just like you and I are, I'm cognizant of that as I'm talking to people, I need to get to the point. What is the point? what is the point? So before somebody asks me, what is the point? I'm asking myself, what is the point? So I can get to the point. Like, okay, all right, get to the point. This monologue stuff that, you know, that we do is not good for them. They hate it. And so would you hate it if you were a child. Try to control your emotions. Although you may be frustrated and angry, yelling, screaming, and verbal put downs of them or their father, those are not going to help you get the change or the answers that you want. Instead, you will be building yourself a young man who is going to be angry, who carries this frustration and those words with him all the days of his life. And I say that because now in private practice, I see men, grown men that are coming in there and they sit down on there and they start talking about, my mother used to say, my father used to say when I was a teenager, when I was young, but now they're grown men with children themselves. So you really, really want to be thoughtful of how this will impact them in the long run. And how can you do that? Try and control your emotions. Because then, you know, by you controlling your emotions, you're controlling the words that come out of her mouth that could be hurtful in the long run. Boys are also very sensitive, you know, of how you speak to them, and especially culturally for you or that might be raising children from other cultures. There are different cultural expectations that you just wonder that, why are they acting as if they're grown up already? But it's in them, it's inborn, where some of them will take, you know, offense to the way that you talk to them as if they're not, you know, growing into this young man that deserves to be spoken to in a respectful manner. And I know for parents, that's irritating, like respectful, you're a boy, but to them, these teenage years are making them into a man with all the growth that is happening with them in the body, mind, and everything. They feel like they deserve to be spoken to like a man, which means just have a conversation with me, you know? And I'm still going to be, you know, a teenage boy that lies to you, that tells you that I'm here and I'm not, and that I expect you to be my parent. And that's real. Even though they do want to be respected like men, just like we said in the teenage ones, teenage girls, yeah, I'm still your son, but I'm a child, so I can, you know, at least get away with some of these things because I'm a child. And then at the same time, I'm a man. I need respect. You know, I mean, talk to me with respect. You just talk to me like you're just talking to somebody else, like you got no, you know, respect for me either. And that's hard. It's really hard for them, and they say that. I'm actually supporting them when they say, you know, they don't know, and you see some of these naive things that they do. Because what I do is when I get a referral and or I see a parent coming and talking about how their teenage son has been doing this and that and everything, I try to assess it to see when and if they were ever talked to or taught about what to do when an incident like that happens or how to make a decision if they were approached by a certain person, situation, what would they do to make a decision, the right decision? I'm looking back to want to hear from this person that they learned that. And most of the time, they haven't learned it. Nobody ever sat down and talked to them about that, you know, reaction and making choices and stuff. And that's what makes it difficult for them when they make a mistake because they don't know. And then they get yelled at, but they're like, well, how was I supposed to know what was right or wrong? Because now I'm getting this big yelling and all this, you know, you disappointed me, but how would I have known? Because I never knew how to react or to choose or to do this and that. So let's be aware of that as adults so that we take most of these, you know, downfalls that your teenage son is doing as teaching opportunities, teaching moments that you can teach them about making, you know, that choice to turn around that choice or environment and make it into a positive thing. You also want to use a lot of examples with your son because what they do is they're actually listening and looking at you to see, are you walking the walk and talking the talk? Yeah, that's the best way for me to say it. They're looking at that. So be aware, because this is a generation that we cannot say, you know what, you're going to do as I say. Because they're going to look at you and say, but look at what you're doing. I'm also looking at what you're doing, but that doesn't match what you're telling me to do or what you expect from me. And I hate to say that, but they're even capable of even calling you out like that and then saying it like that, which is really like frustrating. But they do. They call you out because they figure, I'm not a child anymore. I'm also getting into my adulthood. I better learn what it is to be an adult rather than not being able to communicate my fears, my expectations, and what I'm seeing my parents do, because I want them to walk the walk and talk the talk, okay? We're going to talk a little bit about, sweating the small stuff, because then with everything that I've talked about, be cognizant of how big you want a situation to blow up to be, because then some of that stuff, as far as a teenager might be concerned, it's like, it's really small stuff. Why are we blowing it this big out of proportion? So I think in this instance, I will urge you as the parent to be the one that will discern whether this is small stuff or big stuff, but your child will make them all small stuff, no matter how big that might be. They want explanations though. Why is this such a big deal to you when I'm seeing it as a small stuff? Why is it, a small stuff to you when I'm seeing it as a big stuff? Again, life lessons, opportunities for you to teach them. But in doing so, don't ignore the big stuff. Because if you suspect that your child is using alcohol or drugs, do not look the other way. Because even if it's just alcohol or marijuana that they're smoking, and it reminds you of your own days when you were young and you were smoking weed too, and hey, you didn't die and you didn't make the wrong decisions, but you know, probably at that time, but now you've grown up and everything is working out well. Today, it might not work out that well, only because it's not clean weed anymore. It's not clean just alcohol anymore. They're lacing, they're dropping pills, they're doing everything to mix up. All the alcohol, drugs, and everything is mixed up and laced with something else that might be hurtful, harmful, or even lead to death with your teenager using them. So be aware that, you know what, I'm not going to ignore all the stuff that's going on, especially, you know, this big stuff, because drugs, alcohol, that's big stuff. It's not anything that we can call small stuff anymore. They're also like the marijuana, they're not just like rolling it and smoking the joint that you used to know. They actually have a pen that they can use to, you know, sniff the marijuana and get the same effects. And I mean, there's just so many ways that they're doing this that, you know what, I urge you to open your eyes and truly see what's going on around them. Watch for unexplained changes in their behavior, their appearance, in academic performance, their friends are changing. Be aware of that and call it out when you see it, because it's not just illicit drugs that they're abusing now. They're abusing prescription drugs and even cough medicines, household products. All of those things are being used as drugs, you know, by your teenager, and you want to make sure that you're on top of it. Being on top of it doesn't mean that you jump, scream, and say, okay, I got you, and then you end up having in a fight, and it's not helpful for you to have the opportunity to intervene with your son. Make it a conversation that you are approaching it as, you know what, he's doing something that he has not thought of, or it doesn't have the capacity to think of it ahead and see how detrimental this habit could be or could become. So that's your whole goal. And in with that in mind, you now can approach them and talk to them in a way that is, I want to help you, I want to give you more knowledge, and I want to make sure that nothing gets in the way of who you are and your life that you might have. And with that approach now, it's almost like it's an open dialogue, but it's more relaxing and comfortable for them to do. A lot of information. Yes, we did. We shared a lot of information today. Don't forget that brand new book, Teen Boys Q&A, will be on Amazon on October 22nd and on this 2018. grab a copy, give your boy a copy, especially for boys, because girls will be like reading it around the house and you can see it, because I do have a teen girls Q&A as well. But for boys, you give it to them and they will read it in the corner in their room with the door closed without you seeing it, but they know they have it and they can get answers to that. So I urge you to get them a book, even if you don't think that they read things like this one here, they'll be able to open up and read because they can relate to the questions that I have there. They can relate to the answers that they've been seeking and wanting, and will be appreciative of you getting them a copy of that book on Amazon.com, Teen Boys Q&A. I've had fun. And as an ending to this show, I want to share with you a poem that was written by Larry Holland. It's not a poem, you probably could call it a letter to a son and his wish. He says, "To my son, I sometimes wish you were still small, not yet so big and strong and tall. For when I think of yesterday, I close my eyes and see you play. I often miss that little boy who pestered me to buy a toy, who filled my days with pure delight from early morning to late at night. We watch our children change and grow as seasons come, then quickly go. But our God has a perfect plan to shape a boy into a man. Today, my son, I'm proud of you for all the thoughtful things you do. I'll love you till my days are done, and I'm so grateful you are my son." I hope that this show has been enlightening for you, encouraging and empowering. Until next week, be encouraged and encouraging.